Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Off the ball breakfast.
How's your golf? And this is my favorite answer. How's your golf? My golf is where it should be. It's proportional to the amount of practice I'm putting in, which isn't a lot.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The news round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
You are very welcome along. We'll be putting our spin on a busy weekend for Irish sport just gone. Leinster, for the first time since 2008, didn't score in a rugby game. In the URC, they were hammered by the Stormers in Cape Town. We are going to be talking about England's success in the Women's World Cup final as well. All conquering over 30 games undefeated for John Mitchell's side on Monday Night Rugby with Fiona Hayes. In the Premier League, we had some interesting games at the weekend. First time since 1994, the Chelsea, Manchester United, Liverpool all played in the same day and all lost. They were all beaten on Saturday. So United's struggles continue with a defeat against Brentford. But all the drama came late in the two games at the top of the table. Arsenal scoring late against Newcastle after Liverpool's defeat against Crystal Palace means there's now just 2 points between Liverpool and Arsenal at the top of the league. And we thought the Ryder Cup was all going to go to pot last night for Europe, despite the huge lead they had, 12-5 going into the singles. America come roaring back. Who else but Shane Lowry retains the trophy for Team Europe. And then Tyrrell Hatton did his part, got a half, and Europe win on US soil for the first time since 2012. Gavin Cooney is going to be with us a little bit later this hour. Stephen Doyle, how are you keeping?
I'm in great form, Will. Good to be back from the old Holliers over the last couple of weeks.
He came back with a decent game, which we'll talk about a bit later on with Arsenal and Newcastle yesterday. And Mick McCarthy's here as well. How are you, Mick?
Grant. Man shouldn't be looking so well and sun-kissed at this time of year, I have to say.
Dare we ask him where he went? Where did you go, Steve?
I was down in the south of Spain, going in between Marbella and Malaga. I always try and see the great thing about going September, October, you can get a football match in.
Yeah.
You know, there's always madness.
Did one of our OTB listeners bump into you at a Malaga game?
He sure did, yeah. I went to see Malaga playing at home to Cadiz, second tier.
Can't go anywhere
local rivalry.
That famous, you know.
Alex, absolutely nobody knows me. I could. It was like, he goes, oh, how are you, Steve? I was like, oh, Jesus. Pudge, big Galway United fan. He was there with his partner, Ruth. Keeping a close eye, though, on the Roscommon Hurling Club Championship while they were over there. Absolutely.
Massive Crystal Palace fan, by the way, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, shout out to Podge. It's amazing. I was rocking up there to Malaga, enjoying a beer, and then looked around. There's a lad there in a Galway United shirt. I had to go over there and have a chat. So I went over and said, hello, how's it going? Good result for your boys there last night. So, it was really nice. And in fact, you know something? Second tier Spanish football, there was 40,000 packed into that stadium. La Rosalada.
Is there still a lot of English expats that support
Malaga?
Yeah,
good
as well?
Few there. Yeah, a couple of St. George's flags with the three lines and the Malaga badge on it as well, which is an interesting juxtaposition with a couple of Palestine flags I saw fluttering around the stadium.
All English breakfast did you have in Malaga?
Absolutely none. Listen, it was tapas all the way. It's a lovely city, Malaga, actually. And the best thing about Spanish football is, and I've seen games like around that area. I went to see Algeciras, Marbella. I've been to the Seville Derby, up to the Basque Derby as well. Best thing about Spanish games is Spanish tapas or pinchos, whichever area of the country you're in. And just like spending about 3 or 4 hours on the way to the match, stopping off in little tapas bars, a little glass of beer, nice little tapas. It's the best way to go pre-match. Forget about all that tailgating nonsense in the NFL, you know. Listen, tapas, pinchos on the way to a Spanish match. That's the way to go, lads.
So you were working yesterday at the match.
Yeah.
I don't know, did you get the full tailgating experience?
I don't know. I always thought that tailgating is a bit of an overrated way of saying go for a few pints before the match.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like Irish tailgating is like, you know, standing outside. If you're going to Croke Park, you know, you're standing outside the Big Tree or you're standing outside McGrath's and you're having maybe a pint of cider. for some reason you become a little thirstier for cider around GA matches than you would at the rest
of
the time.
Funny enough, I used to live in Fibsborough, and we lived on just around the corner from Daly Mount Park, and you'd always get people on big match days at Croker parking on our street, and you're guaranteed, I'd say, two out of every three cars, the minute they park up, they'd open up the boot, out comes the flask and the sandwiches and the whole shebang. Like, that's just GA tailgating.
No?
It's a slightly purer form of tailgating, but it is tailgating nonetheless.
Yeah.
We'll chat a little bit later about the NFL in a bit more detail, but what was your experience at Croke Park?
Well, like, do you know what? Actually, I walk up, usually when I go to Croke Park, I usually park around, people will know, like Griffith Avenue kind of thing. So it's a fair walk up. It's a nice walk up to the stadium from there. And you're kind of capturing a lot of there was an awful lot of, I would say, there was a lot of Americans over, absolutely. There was a lot of Steelers fans. There was a good few Vikings fans. But there was awful a lot of genuinely interested Irish NFL fans. And doing what they've done in London and so on, wearing the different jerseys and so on. But there was a real community element to it. It did feel like a culmination of like a very engaged crowd for a long time. But my biggest takeaway from it yesterday in the actual ground itself was how loud and engaged it was. And I think that is a lot of that is from the amount of Americans that have come over. The NFL said in the build-up that it was the most interest it had for tickets from the States for an international game. And these international games have been going back since 2007 when Wembley first hosted it. So there's a lot of games and a lot of time. It was the most international, or there's the most American interest they had. And you could tell that in the stadium. It felt like a Steelers home game. I've been to Wembley a number of times for these games, and they're good atmospheres, and they can be flat too, because there isn't that sense of like what American football crowds are about is getting loud on third down when the away team are on third down, so they can't hear and it just doesn't happen in Wembley because it's too scattered and people aren't really supporting one team or the other, and they're kind of half paying attention, and they're going off for their hot dogs and so on. And I'm not saying none of that existed in Croke Park yesterday, but it was drowned out by a really loud crowd. When I've heard some of the American commentary about it since this morning, like, you know, they all remarked on, oh, that was like surprisingly loud for an international game. I think that's a real testament to actually how well it went, is that even watching on TV in the States, it didn't feel like your typical atmosphere for that annoying international game that happens at 9:30 in the morning before the 1 o'clock games kick off the weekend properly.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Dermot Keenan on the YouTube. Absolutely fantastic day at the NFL Dublin yesterday at Croke Park. Place was electric, especially on third down when the yellow towels were being waved. Typical though, I was in the gents when DJ Metcalf got the 80-yard touchdown.
That was an incredible play. Keen Fatty was with me, who obviously is our resident NFL expert, said that it might have been the best play that we've seen on non-US soil in the NFL. It was an 80-yard touchdown, the first play of a drive. It was pretty incredible.
Unfortunately for Dermot, he's going to have to re-watch it on the coverage as opposed to seeing it live.
Well, Keane missed a TJ Watt interception, and he was there to see TJ Watt, the defensive star of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he didn't have a hugely influential game. And of course, he gets an interception, and Keane's, I think, gone for a sandwich.
Dermot should ride to Croke Park and say, look, do a Tottenham Hotspur here and get the screens over the urinals in the gents and the ladies.
Sean in Dublin on the text line, and Sean is quick to point out he is of culturally origin as opposed to being labelled a dub here. Lads, the sandwiches and tea you have at the boot of a car around Croker will be the nicest tea and sandwiches you eat in your life. Wouldn't disagree.
I don't disagree. Yeah, the tinfoil gives them an extra sort of element, doesn't it?
It packs in, it congeals them. I don't know.
When he says he's of country extract, he obviously means Tipperary. I'm just, you know, like simple as hang sandwiches in the tinfoil and the flash gate is a tip thing. It's not a bad thing, it's just a tip thing.
It is very tip. Tailgating is beers and barbecue from the boot of a car. Obviously, they didn't have those with them, similar to us going to GA matches, parking in the same place, meeting the same people, pulling in at the same time, coming in from Larry. And I do like this one because I'm not sure if this is a joke or actually real. Guardiola has a restaurant called Tippy Tapas. I really hope I really hope that's the case. My doubts. I think Owen's getting a joke.
Point that one, yeah.
What do you get when you open up the word gullible in the dictionary?
Me reading out.
No, a definition of the word gullible. Well,
it's funny. They're just on the tailgating thing. The reaction. I'm just looking at social media. The reaction of American NFL fans were at the game yesterday, who could not get over the location of Croke Park, and as somebody put it, you can touch the houses from here. It's right in a neighbourhood.
Mm.
And somebody was like making the point as well, you obviously can't tailgate here because it's not built on a big concrete slab in the middle of nowhere.
In the city, yeah. So, but it really is in a neighbourhood. You forget about that with Croke Park sometimes. If you walk down the North Circular or you walk down Clonliffe a lot of time, but if you go through any of the places in between, you're walking through like terraced housing. It's like something out of Coronation Street or something like that until you get to Jones's Road. Like it is, it's so in the middle of, you know, obviously we hear about the Croke Park residents when it comes to concerts and Garth Brooks and everything like that, but they are genuinely like in the eye of the stadium.
Let's get into the news round itself, Steve, because we're going to kick off with the Ryder Cup. Gavin Cooney's going to be with us in about 20 minutes' time as well to look back on the crowds and everything that happened over the weekend. But Team Europe would eventually hold off the Americans last night.
Indeed, there has been a lot of calls for the winning team captain, Luke Donald, to keep the job for 2027. The four-time Ryder Cup winner as a player made a back-to-back cap wins as captain with the victory at Bethpage. When asked after the win if he would remain in charge for the tournament in Ireland in 2 years' time, Donald quipped last night, "I'm not sure my heart could take it." He is the first captain of Europe to win back-to-back twice since Tony Jacklin in 85 and 87. Now, he did speak to Sky Sports News in the last couple of hours, so fresh quotes here, and he hasn't ruled out the possibility of being in charge at a Dare manager.
Well, I'm never going to outrule it right now. I need time to process, you know, like everything I do. I go into detail about what the challenge is, what lies ahead. But, I've obviously, you know, a lot of people thought I was crazy going second time around. You know, why not? Everything went well in Rome, just walk away as a winner. And now I've obviously won home and away. That's pretty special. I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I kind of want to enjoy this moment, enjoy this one. I know there's a few boys that live around me in Florida, and we might be celebrating this one for a while.
It was a pretty nervy finish for the European side, who led 11.5 to 4.5 after Saturday's four balls. That meant they needed just 3 points from 12 matches to retain the cup. Despite being put under huge pressure by the US golfers yesterday, they won 15-13. And the man who holed the crucial putt to ensure they retained the Ryder Cup was Ireland's Shane Larry. Here is the man from Offaly, reminding us first that Tyrrell Hatton won the match overall with his success yesterday, and then answering a question as to whether he woke up on Sunday morning thinking it could be down to him to seal the win.
Daryl won us the Ryder Cup, by the way. But like, it was a bit of two putt from 10.
Gosh, you know.
To be honest, no. Like, I have faith in my team to go out, and I thought we were going to win the Ryder Cup early today. But it's not that we weren't all going out to win our own match. That was the main goal. And look, Luke, we were well prepped on that last night. Like, you don't want to take any complacency out there to that like arena against those players. Like, the US team are 12 amazing players, and we knew it was going to be very hard. But I didn't envision myself going up the 18th needing a birdie to retain the Ryder Cup. It was like the worst 2 hours of my life. It was horrible. honestly, it was. But I said to my caddy walking down 18, I said, I've got an opportunity to do the greatest thing I've ever done. Today, and I did it, and I'm very proud of myself. And,
I think I'd call that a tired and emotional press conference in general, understandable with the weekend at the European team had as well. There was a nice little piece of synergy at the end of all this as well. So Larry makes that putt on 18, right? He does the jig, which was basically the Seamus Darby jig from 82, which I'm sure wasn't planned.
I don't think you could plan what he did. It was an out-of-body experience.
So the emotions went, and Seamus
as it
Darby
was for Seamus Darby
took him over. And who's the first guy who ends up hugging him in both cases? Brendan Larry.
Brendan Larry.
Larry hugs him in 82, and similarly his son, Shane. So was it 43 years, two September events that happened as
well? Like the Mikkel Merino celebration at the Euros a couple of years ago when he scored, where his dad had scored for his Club Real Sociedad, and did the famous dancing around the corner flag celebration. It was exactly like 30 years later or something, wasn't it? Anyway.
Yeah. Maria
didn't celebrate yesterday.
I want to just make one thing. It's just like there's nobody in this room, on Sky Sports yesterday, in that press conference, has mentioned Ludvig Åberg, the only European to win.
Won the point. Settle everything, yeah.
He was the only one of 11, as it turned out, not 12, but like, you know, with Hovland not playing, to win a point. He didn't have a good week either.
Oh. Yeah.
And like, I just felt like they just glossed over it. Oh, yeah. Europe are on the board, let's move on. Oh, let's make Shane, all the British and Irish lads heroes. Ah, I'm sure it's not that, but it was happening earlier. But the Lowry thing, I've seen a lot of focus on that putt. And it took staunch, right? Absolutely. I'm not arguing it one bit. But what he did in the hour beforehand.
Yeah.
Like.
That match was an incredible match. And we didn't see enough of it, and it fully enough.
No, we didn't. And look, when they did pick up in it, Shane was two down. And he started, his shot on 16, where he hit it in. Yeah. And then, like, Henley put it in from a shock birdie, and you're like, Shane walked off with a brilliant birdie on that, like, dejected. He doesn't hit a good tee shot in 17. He rescues his par. Henley misses it. He's still in it. But again, he's got like no, like, then I had watched every shot into 18 that day. And don't forget, like, all of the matches except for Åberg's at that stage and Schauffele's went up 18.
Yeah.
It was an incredibly close day for all the Americans dominating. There was only two of the 11 games were more than one shot deciding them. But the first three games all went up 18 all square. I'd say that's never happened in the history of the Ryder Cup. And it was going so America's way that Cameron Young knocks it in, then JT knocks it in, and you're like, what is going on here? So suddenly Lowry's match is really, really important. And from that exact moment, he started playing some brilliant golf. And then every shot that went into 18 all day, the two best shots were Henley's had been the best shot, and then Lowry followed him in with an even better shot. And that says everything.
Yeah.
That says in the moment. And I'm surprised his second shot isn't getting more analysis than the putt.
He took
the 5 feet after Henley hit the best second shot of the day into that green. Lowry did it even better again.
Yeah,
and that's unbelievable.
What you pointed out, the 16th.
Yeah.
That orange shot into the green by Lowry was sensational. And the fact that He did look so dejected. I was thinking, oh no, he's gone here. This is it.
His tee shot was poor.
And then to hold up then, as you say, for the 18th, and to keep his bottle and to sink or to make that shot and then sink the putt. Just incredible.
Yeah, brilliant. I did like the picture he took as well, which was underneath the quote from Keegan Bradley, which is basically going to kick Europe's ass.
Yeah.
Lying down in his recovery position with the trophy.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Yeah, as well, he's in a group 2 days in a row, and the two mornings he walked around with Roy McIlroy's wife, you know what I mean, and was very involved in the whole thing, and both for himself and through Rory. And you know, he became a bit of a focal point because Shane does react, which with aegis like that, who are looking for the attention, you're going to get it twice as much if you react. So you can only imagine the pressure and everything he was under. He said the hardest 2 hours of his life. Like, it was a truly heroic moment, I would say. Like, one of the best Irish sports moments that I can remember, you know?
Can I just say, I wasn't plugged into the Ryder Cup most of Saturday because, you know, coming back to the Premier League commentary on Sunday, I was watching the Premier League all day Saturday. And when I joined the coverage of the Ryder Cup on Saturday, I joined at the end of the 15th hole, in the match between Justin Rose and Tommy Fleetwood and Bryson DeChambeau and
Scheffler.
Yeah. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? And it was like, geez, there was Justin Rose. They're showing a replay of him getting a bit, you know, with the caddies, like, you know, ushering the caddy off the green.
And Molinari's
all the yanks are going, boo, boo. And then Molinari's getting involved. And then DeChambeau's going up the hill up to the next hole and he's shoulder charging Tommy Fleetwood. And then you've got this like, 6'7" caddy from Liverpool, big scouser, Tommy Fleetwood's caddy going up, almost doing the Harry Enfield, calm down, to Bryson DeChambeau. And I was going, what the hell is going on here? This is unbelievable. Incredible. What a
DeChambeau just... really, like, there was, all of it was handbags, and then there was just one moment where DeChambeau turned around and snapped, and it was like, you know, like something in one of those like TV shows where like somebody is playing a good guy and then it's like they snap and you see the burning eyes of the demon inside them. It was like that moment where, like, and then straight away he's like, it's good, we move on, we're okay, we move on, and he's like trying to get his cool back.
I cannot take that man seriously. I'm sorry, I just cannot take, going around most of the time with his team cap from that other tournament that he plays in. And it's just his walk of intent. It's just the funny. He looks like Popeye when he's going around.
John
like,
Cleese.
It's incredible. I can't take him seriously. Anyway.
He came back from 5 down yesterday to tie his game. Like, you know, he is an unbelievable golfer, but he's such a weirdo.
I still like his YouTube. Don't be slandering the man.
I can call someone a weirdo if I want to.
Indeed. The news round is with thanks to UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back on track and back into action as well. Steve-O, who has been saying that they want to bring the NFL back to Dublin again?
Indeed. Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, took that victory against the Minnesota Vikings, 24 points to 21 in the first NFL game at Croke Park. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin has said it was an honour to represent American football in the Irish capital city. His quarterback Aaron Rodgers wants to see the Steelers or even another NFL pairing back in Dublin. He spoke after the match about the pre-match speech given by Tomlin, a close friend of the late owner, Dan Rooney.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to share exactly what he said last night, but I thought it was definitely impactful. Coach T talked about his relationship with the late, great Ambassador Rooney and how much he meant to him and how much Ambassador Rooney loved football and loved the guys and loved his appointment here in Ireland. And, you know, me personally, I'm a little older, so I appreciate the history. There was a lot of us that wanted to win it a little bit more for the family, knowing how much affection they have for this area. So I enjoyed that talk last night from Coach T. And again, I really enjoyed everything that we experienced here. It was a short trip, but from the moment we landed, the security guys over at the Carlton House were hilarious. And the Guinness was good in downtown Dublin. And it'll be a nice flight back with hopefully a yearly return by, you know, us or two other teams.
Yeah, Gaelic football managers across the country getting concerned when they hear Aaron Rodgers saying, I went in the beer when we arrived and still we were able to play on Sunday and no problem. Which manager begins work with a fourth Premier League team tonight?
Yes, 20 days after he was sacked by Nottingham Forest, Nuno Espirito Santo will be in charge of West Ham for the first time. They are away to Everton tonight in the Premier League. That one kicks off at 8. West Ham second from bottom. Everton could climb to 8th position if they can win that match this evening.
And you were watching Arsenal Newcastle. We'll be talking about this a lot more in the football show later on, but what did you make of the Gunners' gritty win at St James's?
Yeah, I thought they were the better team until Valtamata got that goal yesterday, 35 minutes when he scored. Pathetic stuff from Gabriel Reedy, I have to say, in the build-up to that goal, going down looking for some sort of a free. He got the man of the match at the end of the game, which I could not believe because of that, what happened. I thought that negated him getting the match winner. Urien Timber, absolutely sensational yesterday for Arsenal. I thought Declan Rice had a good game. Zubimendi was very good. Odegaard, I think he's got a bit of a rocket up the backside with the performances of those couple of midfielders and Berchiesa as well. Overall, Arsenal decent without being brilliant. Like they struggled to break Newcastle down, and that is a bit of a concern for them. They played a box midfield, which I thought was interesting. The fullbacks pushed up. Newcastle, look, they just need to get... They've been really unlucky with Wissa getting injured because they've got, what now, 4 goals in 6 Premier League games. This isn't good for them. Anthony Gordon's struggling to make any headway down that left-hand side. Harvey Barnes, not a great backup for him. Jacob Murphy wasn't great on the right yesterday. Valtamata played well, but like he's generally a number 10. He has been for Stuttgart over the last couple of seasons, as well as playing as a lead striker. But I'd be worried a bit for Newcastle because if you're not scoring goals in the Premier League or the Champions League, you're going to struggle to win games. But I do think it's good for the league. As a neutral, Arsenal are going 2 points behind Liverpool after Liverpool taking that 5-point lead.
Oh, for sure.
It's really good.
Yeah, 96-minute winner, not a bad way to get back in commentary. Mm. Steve-O calling that game for us between Arsenal and Newcastle at St James's Park yesterday. Thanks for joining us on the news round, Steve-O. Mick is going to stay with us. We'll talk NFL in the next hour. Mick's going to be with us for the football show. Nathan's going to be back on as well for that. But we're going to chat with Gavin Cooney from New York about the Ryder Cup. But first of all, time for the cash machine.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
How's your golf? And this is my favourite answer. How's your golf? My golf is where it should be. It's proportional to the amount of practice I'm putting in, which isn't a lot.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.